I'm Steve Vincent, that's Paul Schultz, and this is the Don't Panic Radio Show.
Changing it up a little bit, huh?
You like that?
Yeah.
You like that? We'll go with it then.
All right.
Thanks, everybody, for listening. We can't tell you how happy we are that you tuned in. In fact, we're committed to the high quality and lowbrow-ness of this show.
What's the line in Hooters? What's their motto? Something about delightfully distasteful or something like that.
Come look at boobs.
Anyway.
You know, Hooters was like, I know what we'll do. We'll call it Hooters. You know, it'll be like tongue in cheek. It could be an owl. It could be. But Twin Peaks is just like, no, screw that. We're just going to be. And then the male version, I think, is called Nuts. Or, wait, what's it called? It's like. It's called Nutsack, I think, or Grape Smugglers.
So they serve wine and nuts. Is that what you're saying?
That's right. They serve wine and nuts. Okay. So the deal is there is a recording of us recording a show from Valentine's Day that will never be heard by anyone.
No. I might be able to salvage one joke. We'll put that on the best of CD.
I think Reservoir Dogs in Cleopatra's Pyramid. Boy, if we could, the stuff that ended up on the cutting room floor. But it was Valentine's Day yesterday. Happy Valentine's Day. I hope you had a good VD.
You're killing me.
No, I am. And so what we have in store for you today is another installment of Softcore History and Black Lightning review, but this time an epic Black Lightning review because it's two episodes because we missed last week. So
right.
Yeah.
And then we got one episode next week of Black Lightning, and then it goes on hiatus for a week or two. So
ooh.
Yeah, we'll have to find something to fill up the back nine of the show.
Maybe one of us will go see Black Panther.
Oh, I'm probably going to go Saturday to see it, so I might have that, you know, chambered.
I don't know why chambered always seems dirty to me. It's like when somebody says, oh, I got one chambered, I'm like, oh.
I've used that line before.
He's got one chambered. All right. Watch out.
That's right.
Ladies, tighten your girdles.
That's right.
Paul has one chambered. All right. So that's it for this week, aside from anything else we think of. Because sometimes we do think of other stuff.
Kind of on the fly.
So why don't we get right into it? The next sound you will hear is the sound of softcore history. I want to make love to you, woman. I want to lay you down by the fire. And caress your womanly body. Make you moan and perspire.
Speaking of that.
Yeah.
Me and my son watched I'm Gonna Get You Sucker today. He's never seen it.
My bunion is killing me.
He almost died. It's so big.
Oh, that was funny. Okay, so I guess I gotta do that again then. Okay. All right. That was pretty good. We came up with more small talk. Valentine's Day, all
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
I thought, you know, what better topic for softcore history than I'll go look up, like, the history of Valentine's Day, and I'll do a story about St. Valentine. He must have been a real guy.
Mm-hmm.
So I go look it up, and the only thing people know about St. Valentine is there's a grave somewhere in Italy with that name on it. And people, so people assume that he must have existed at one time.
Mm-hmm.
And the Catholic Church isn't even sure if he was a real person, but they're like, yeah, I guess he's probably a saint. but he's not officially a saint. And I'm like, we have a whole day called St. Valentine's Day where men are made to feel inadequate in the romance department. And there's not even a real dude that it's based on. At least St. Patrick was real, right? Yeah,
that's what they say.
And then we have this thing called Sweetest Day, right?
Mm-hmm.
Why do we need both?
You ever heard Lewis Black's joke about Valentine's Day?
No.
You put the romantic holiday right smack in the middle of flu season.
So anyway, that was, and then I thought, well, what about the Valentine's Day massacre? So I thought about doing that, and then I don't know, there's not enough there really. And then I thought, well, what about Al Capone? And I don't know, I think it's been done. Everybody knows Al Capone's story. I prefer to pick stories that are a little more obscure that maybe people don't know.
Did I ever tell you my Al Capone story?
Hang on, let me think about that. I'm going to say no.
My grandfather met my grandmother because he was running beer from Indiana to Illinois for Al Capone.
You know, they got a lot of their beer from Detroit. I did do some of the research, and the Chicago mob got a lot of their beer from Detroit. So he might have been like picking it up at the border and running it across.
Well, my grandmother's family brewed it.
Oh,
yeah.
Got it.
Yeah,
and then they ran it over there to the speakeasies.
Yep.
It's actually, it's an interesting story how Al Capone came up through the ranks. He started out as a bouncer in New York, and somebody like talked him into moving to Chicago. So he comes to Chicago, he's a bouncer in brothels, right? And got syphilis, because I guess he was, you know, sampling the wares, and ended up with syphilis that way. And then just kind of kept rising through the ranks until one day the dude that was running the Chicago mob was just like, I'm not interested anymore. I'm retiring. Why don't you do it? And he's like, oh, okay. Next thing you know, he's in charge. And then when he ends up in prison, he knows nothing about being in prison. And he's getting bullied all the time, you know, and he's super stressed out from being bullied. But his cellmate happened to be a guy that used to work for him as like a low level muscle guy. So he protected Al Capone in prison. Like, how the mighty have fallen.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So anyway, that is not softcore history.
It's kind of softcore history. Yeah. You know, we briefly touched on historical facts.
That is true. But that's not what I had prepared for today. This is a love story. A love story that ends in tragedy. You know, boy meets girl, boy loses girl, boy has girl bathed and brought to him. Girl seduces boy. Boy moves in with girl, and they get married and live happily, happily, but not quite ever after. While he was away on business one day, he heard that his lover had killed herself. He was not able to live with his grief, and he fell on his own blade. In his dying hour, his love appeared beside him, very much alive. But it was too late. She couldn't save him. And in her grief, she injected herself with the venom of a serpent and died next to her lover. This is a popular tale dramatized by William Shakespeare. It's inspired many adaptations and just as many legends. A rose by another name may smell just as sweet, but this is not the story of some wilting rose. This is the story of a queen. A queen who claimed to be the reincarnation of the goddess Isis herself. This is a story about Cleopatra, Queen of the Nile. You like that?
Yeah, it's a very Paul Harvey-like.
Very. And and now, the story. All right, so got to go back a couple hundred years to figure out who Cleopatra even is, right? Because when I was growing up, I had no idea. It didn't even occur to me to be curious about why she was white.
Right? why she looked like Liz Taylor.
Right. I just assumed it was because, well, that's how we did it in the movies, right? Mm. White people always play everybody. Like, Tonto was a white dude with makeup, right? We couldn't find one Indian to play Tonto.
No.
Really?
Jay Silverheels was actually Native American.
Oh. Yeah, but still.
But yeah, all right. Okay, whoa.
I'm just saying.
You're throwing out the but still. All right.
All right, so go back a couple hundred years. Alexander the Great, who was from Macedonia, which eventually became part of Greece, conquered most of the known world, like around the Mediterranean, right? Persia, what's now Iraq, Syria. So it included Egypt. And Rome at this time was still just some backwater little small town somewhere in Italy, right? Alexander the Great was like, Rome? I barely know her. So eventually, though, he was a great general. He conquered all this area. But when he died, he hadn't really set things up to carry on after him. Mm-hmm. So his generals pretty much just split up the empire. The Macedonian Empire.
The Macadamian Empire.
The Macadamian Empire. With those creamy nuts. You know, not enough is made of the macadamia nut.
No.
It's really creamy.
It's an underappreciated creamy nut.
It's weird that they have almond milk, but they don't have macadamia milk. You would think macadamia milk would be more like milk than almond milk.
I mean, they. I got nothing to add to that.
All right. So, there was this general named Ptolemy, spelled Ptolemy, and he was the guy who happened to get Egypt. I think pretty much, like, wherever you were when you were the general, whatever you were in charge of when Alexander died, you just got that. Right.
Right.
It's like if FDR had died during World War II, Patton would be like, well, I guess I get France. You
know? Patton would take whatever he wanted.
It's true. All right. So they all split it up. Ptolemy gets Egypt. And so it becomes the Egyptian kingdom or empire, whatever Egypt was. And so his kids take over. His kids' kids take over from there, and like a couple hundred years goes by, a few generations. Eventually, Cleopatra is a descendant of him, okay? And she had brothers and sisters, mm-hmm. but when her dad died, she killed some of her sisters. She actually married some of her brothers and hooked up with them. I guess incest was like a thing back then. At least it wasn't as frowned upon as it is now. And just to show you like what time period this was, Julius Caesar was doing his thing, rising up through the Republic, becoming, you know, dictator for life.
Mm-hmm.
And to solidify her, you know, Rome was still, by this time, Rome was the big kid on the block, right? They mm-hmm. hadn't taken over everything yet, but they were on their way. So she figured if she hooked up with Julius Caesar, that would solidify her position as ruler of Egypt, right?
Mm-hmm.
So she just was like, well, whatever I got to do, just think of men were like that. They're like, oh, to rule the world, all I got to do is sleep with a bunch of women, right? Nowadays, like, people didn't look at it that way back then. They were like, oh, well, she's doing what she's got to do for the people of Egypt. Mm-hmm. Nowadays, we'd probably call her like the harlot of the Nile.
Right, right. Or, you know? or she'd have a reality show.
She'd have a reality show. That's right. But anyway, so she slept with Julius Caesar, actually had kids with him. But then Caesar dies, right? And then things get chaotic. Like, there's competition in Rome to see who's going to take over. Octavius would have been Julius Caesar's choice, but he was just one of the guys. Another one was Mark Antony, not the singer.
Maybe he did sing. We don't know. I mean,
he might have. I mean, he was, whatever he had, whatever he was packing, it was good enough to get Cleopatra. That wasn't his idea, but his idea was, let me get Egypt on my side, and to get Egypt on my side, I'm going to have this Cleopatra person come to Rome, and I'm going to meet with her and figure out who she's going to be loyal to, right? So she shows up. She ends up seducing him.
It's like that joke about, you know, when her bras and panties match, it wasn't your idea to have sex that night.
You might think it was.
That's right.
Oh, that's a good point. If she's wearing her frilly underwear and it matches, that wasn't your idea.
Or if she's Mrs. FSJ, then, you know, the negligee and the fuzzy slippers.
Fuzzy slippers, that's right. With the little heel on them. Super fan. All right, so Cleopatra seduces Mark Antony. Still not the singer. He falls madly in love with her, moves to Alexandria with her. And Alexandria, who knew it was named after Alexander the Great?
I didn't. Did they?
They probably did. Yeah. It was like her great-great-grandfather or something, so she probably did. She probably, in fact, she probably never would let you forget it. you know who Alexandria is named after? Huh? Yeah. Do you? Take a guess.
Is that where the big library was?
Yes.
Well, okay. All right.
Yeah.
I thought so. Interesting.
Yeah, and it's a shame, too, because that library was destroyed at some point. And just, I don't know what was wrong with people back then. Didn't somebody go, okay, we're really mad, but we're not going to destroy this library because, man, there's a lot of good information in here. People might want to know someday.
Think of history as any guide. Once you start rioting, you're stealing paper, you know, because they steal toilet paper all the time. So they figured these were scrolls. Hey, so it ties in.
Hey, I don't like the racial overtones there. Those people were desperate. Their family needed toilet paper. And there were no services. The streets were flooded. You call them looters, but if they were white, you would just say, hey, they're just getting stuff for their family. All right, so back to Cleopatra and Mark Antony, who are both white. All right, so they're living in Alexandria now, right? But Octavius decides he's got to go to Egypt and, you know, kick some ass so that he can be the, you know, emperor, right? Mm-hmm. End the civil war and, you know, win. So Mark Antony has to go out and do his general thing and fight against Octavius. While he's out fighting, Cleopatra locks herself in one of her monuments and sent word that she was dead. The idea being, so because Octavius was going to come and kill her, mm-hmm. right? So that he could rule Egypt. So she just said, hey, go out and tell everybody I'm dead so that he doesn't come and kill me. Well, word got to Marky Mark that she was dead. And he was so grief-stricken that he tried to kill himself by stabbing himself with his sword. Can you imagine that? Like, okay, I'm going to kill myself now. And you got, like, I guess the Japanese still do it.
Yeah.
But I can't imagine taking a sword. Like, first of all, it'd be awkward.
Yeah.
Because their swords were probably, like, long, right?
Well, no. The gladius type Roman swords were only, like, maybe 2.5 feet long. So he could probably...
Do you think he had a gladius type sword, or do you think he... Yeah, he probably did, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know. whatever generals have. So I guess, okay, so I guess it wasn't as hard as you would think, but he still screwed it up somehow because he didn't die. He's bleeding like crazy. Suddenly the blood stops. Cleopatra hears that he did this and says, go get him, you know, and bring him to me. And she's going to nurse him back to health. She gives him a stiff drink, right? And he actually asks, he's like, hey, can I have some wine? She's like, sure, here's some wine. Now, if only they had thought about it for a second or maybe looked it up on WebMD, alcohol thins your blood out. And it's going to make you bleed more, right? Mm-hmm. I'm sure it made him feel better, but it probably killed him.
Right? He's doing the thing where he's drinking out of the goblet and it's just like shooting out of like in a cartoon. It's like, oh, look at that. He's like the one chick in Kill Bill. So the blood's just flying everywhere.
So he drinks it. He dies. Cleopatra is, of course, not able to go on without him because she loves him so much. She finds a snake and makes it bite her. Like a venomous snake. And it's like, she's better at killing herself than he is. So as a result, Cleopatra's dead. Mark Antony's dead. Octavius takes over Egypt, becomes the Roman emperor, and changed his name to Augustus. Because I guess Octavius is just not manly enough.
You know what's crazy? She got a snake to bite her. Now, if you've ever watched like Animal Planet or any of those things, when these venomous snakes, it had to have been a horrible way to die. Because, you know, your esophagus closes up, your nervous system starts to shut down. It's a slow, painful death.
Yeah, why not just pay somebody to chop your head off?
Well, if what well, was the same person that taught him how to use a sword.
Right?
Do it again!
That's an interesting concept. I think Dr. Kevorkian was on the right track. Because if you can make a living, like if your job is people will pay you to kill them,
mm-hmm.
you can charge whatever you want. It's not mm-hmm. like they're going to need the money, right? You
typically did, yeah.
It's like you wouldn't even negotiate. You'd just be like, my fee is whatever you have.
Yeah, what do you got?
What do you got? How much? How much you got?
It don't matter. Funny. I'm just going to take it once you're dead anyway. I'll just go right? to your house.
Okay, I'll agree. All right, fine. Only 10,000, right? Where do you keep the rest?
That's right.
So ultimately, in the long term, mm-hmm. Mark Antony and Cleopatra won because Mark Antony became a major recording artist, as we said earlier.
Mm-hmm.
And Cleopatra became a major character in at least a dozen movies, played That's by right. Liz Taylor.
How old was Cleopatra when she died?
I'll look it up. How old was Cleopatra when she died?
Checking my sources. Cleopatra died August 14th, 30 BC at age 39.
39.
So she was middle-aged, which usually means you're crazy. So it all makes sense.
She, check this out. This is from Wikipedia. She was briefly survived as pharaoh by her son Caesarion. So she died. Her son Caesarion became the emperor before what's his name? Octavius came down and killed him. Now I wonder if he...
Did he invent?
There's a joke invent in the, here somewhere.
Did he invent the section? I mean,
I was trying to think of like the part of town he lived in was called the Caesarian section of town. I knew there was a joke in there somewhere. I feel like Andy Wright now.
There's still a joke in there somewhere. We just haven't found it yet.
That's right, and that is softcore history.
She's 6 feet, 2 inches of pure dynamite.
Burn it.
Cleopatra Jones. She is sticking her nose in my business, Zach!
And when trouble goes down in her old neighborhood...
Keep my nose out of me!
when the man gets played against her friends.
I'm clean. Somebody put that on me.
And the heaviest cats in town make the scene. This mama will explode.
I'll take care of Cleopatra Jones.
Man, that broad is 10 miles of bad road.
That's right.
This isn't exactly your jurisdiction.
My jurisdiction extends from Ankara, Turkey to Watts Tower, baby.
Tamara Dobson.
You dig it?
Bernie Casey.
If they want this house, they gotta bring something to get something.
And Shelley Winters.
The honeymoon is over.
Cleopatra Jones.
The best. That's because we have an iron motto. We live well, we die well. Let's change it.
Lilies that fester smell far worse than we. Citizens of Rome have but one vital need. Humbling suppliants with staff and with speed. An empire of excess and lusting and greed. Chain wielding who
What was the question about the mummy thing today?
It just came up on my Facebook memories that 12 years ago, or not 12 years ago, 2012.
Mm-hmm.
So 6 years ago, my daughter asked me, like, she's like, are mummies actually just zombies wrapped in fabric? Because, you know, she was fascinated by zombies and it's like, what's a zombie? Well, it's, you know, it's like the undead, like somebody who's dead that comes back and whatever. She's like, and so she's thinking about it, like the wheels are turning, right? It's like, well, that's what mummies are, but they're wrapped in fabric. So I think that was the source of her question.
Oh, see, I thought you were doing like a question of the week because it would be a tie-in to like Egypt and mummies and all that.
Ooh, I didn't even think of that, but that's a good point. The question of the week. Are mummies actually zombies wrapped in fabric? It's right up there with, is water wet? I'm not sure I understand it enough to tell her about it. Because she's going to have more questions that I don't know the answers to. I'll tell her to talk to Uncle Paul. It's like,
there
we'll talk
you
to
go.
Your Uncle Paul. He'll know. Something about revenants or something.
Yeah.
Is a revenant like... like Leonardo DiCaprio with the bear in the...
Well, he was a metaphorical revenant. But no, a revenant is essentially a zombie that is brought back to life for a purpose. Now, in his case, he returned from the dead, so to speak. And his purpose was to, you know, hunt down the dude, the people that screwed him over.
I never saw that movie. Was it good?
You know, it was overacted... It was too predictable. It was filmed well, and as far as I'm concerned, fuck bears. That's all I'm gonna say.
Didn't he actually do that in the movie?
I think the bear tried to do that to him.
Oh, got it.
What a top.
Let's talk about Black Lightning.
We pray at night for the helpless. Pray at night. Hoping you get us through breakfast. Open. Wishing somebody come save us. Black Lightning's back, come to shock the haters.
So I had to get caught up because I had not seen episode 3, I think it was. So now I had to watch 3 and 4
mm-hmm.
over the past week. And continues to deliver, mm-hmm. in my opinion. Continues to be a good show.
You lucked out. You have managed to skirt all the really bad CW superhero shows to watch the best one. I love Legends of Tomorrow. It's campy and corny, and some of the acting isn't that good, and the third season's kind of staggering to figure out what it's wanting to do. But I love it because it's unashamedly a superhero, you know, comic book story. Black Lightning, on the other hand, is... the best acted, the best scripted, the most compelling thing that CW has done since Dawson's Creek.
Since Dawson's Creek.
Or as they called it on, what did they call it on Family Guy? Pretty White People with Problems.
So now this is Pretty Black People with Problems.
That's what I would call it, yes.
They are pretty,
mm.
these black people. Well, except Tobias, he's kind of ugly.
He's, yeah.
But okay, so. You know, it's interesting because I thought, is he an albino just because the actor was an albino? No, I looked it up. He's like in the comic. Like, how hard did they have to look to find an albino actor? Tobias.
They had to look pretty hard. Okay. An albino African-American actor. That was especially difficult.
Yeah, I mean, you had to find a... excuse me. Pigment challenge, brother. I want to keep it PC.
Right.
And he had to be a good actor. And he had to be big.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
This guy's big. And it does make me want to know more of the backstory, just because it's all really cool. And every time they allude to what has happened in the past,
mm-hmm.
I'm like, wow, I bet that was a good episode. Wait, That was not an episode. I just love the fact that they, as I said before, that they've started like in the middle.
Yes.
they didn't start it with the origin story and all that stuff.
Yeah.
I'm not sure I trust that. What's the guy's name? The white dude that helps Black Lightning?
Gambi?
Gambi.
Yeah.
I don't really trust that guy.
Well, I made the prediction, I think, on last week's episode or the week before.
Or last night.
Yeah. Well, no, it wasn't last night's. I think it was last week that I have a feeling that Gambi, it's one of those things where they're trying to create this mystery of, is he good? Is he bad? But then, of course, this week they announced that Tobias announced that he was working for some organization, and which answered a lot, because I'm looking at his basement going, did he get all this shit from making suits? Where does all this stuff come from? You know, how does he know how to do all this stuff? So I'm gonna meta here a little bit. I think he's been supplying super suits, if you will, for other, you know, superheroes in what's going to be soon be called the Lightningverse, which is the umbrella that will be the Black Lightning TV show. Mm. I think he's supplied suits and whatnot for other characters as well. We just don't know that yet. And I wouldn't be surprised if at some point he makes suits for his daughter.
Her suit is fine. The one that she has is fine with
me. You know what's funny? Me and my buddy Glenn, we watch. He comes over and we watch it. And he gets mad that there's not enough, like, butt shots in the show. And
well, he was given a treat this past week.
Yeah. Yes.
That was, I like that superhero outfit.
Mm-hmm.
I know she doesn't, I know I'm not her type, but that's okay. That's okay. That was a good suit she put on. So back to Tobias. Mm-hmm. Like I'll be watching the show and I'll think, it's good. It's starting to slow down a little bit. Oh, Tobias.
Yeah.
Every scene he's in, I like him.
Well, that's one of the problems that the CW superhero shows have, except for Black Lightning and Legends, is they drag on so long and so their drama is just boring. It's like it's almost a throwback to when they were doing shows like Dawson's Creek. It's just boring soap opera drama crap.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we're what, four or five episodes into this series, and any slowdown just carries the plot along.
Yeah.
You know? So I mean it's some of the best writing on TV right now, I think, but particularly the CW.
I love that scene where his daughter's talking about, like, if I had superpowers, I'd use them to help people. And then the mom's like, well, yeah, but I mean, what about his family? And she's like, well, I would think his family would be supportive because, you know, he's out there helping people. And they show Jefferson Pierce, and he's just sitting there drinking his wine, like, ooh, doo, doo, don't mind me. I'm just going to let her do the talking.
That's right.
And she got mad at that cop, man. Well, she didn't act mad, but he's sitting there going, well, I don't know. Black Lightning hurts people, you know? Just ask this one and ask that one. And she's like, well, y'all ain't doing nothing. Like all these prayers and marches and all this stuff, that's not doing anything. Somebody needs to do something. And then she goes and she gets that fine-looking outfit. And then she goes out and she starts doing stuff. That's all right in my book.
It was my son and I, we also watch it together, and we decided that this particular episode was the in a movie trilogy, this is the middle movie.
Yeah.
Because there was no climax, it carries the plot along, but it does it compelling enough that it keeps it moving, and it's not like what, because in a TV series, in a in a season, there's typically half a dozen throwaway episodes that are just, they have, you know, they have to fill space, so they make these episodes and nothing really happens. That hasn't happened yet, and I think they're doing a short season with this. I think it's only like 13 episodes, and that will help it not, when they stretch it out to like the full 18, they tend to get a lot of filler, and by making it a shorter season, they don't have time for that.
Right, it's like, you know, Man in the High Castle, or like you were mentioning, Stranger Things.
Mm-hmm.
It's a short season, so every episode has to count.
Yes.
You know, every episode's got to move things forward a little bit.
Yeah.
All right, so two thumbs up?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I think is, you know, I think it's funny, too, is the... I notice little things about this show that I really like. That I mean, and I tried all the other ones, like I said, and they just didn't hold me. And this one holds me on so many levels. And one of the things that I love is his daughters act like sisters. And by sisters, I don't mean that in like the racial sense. I mean, they act like real sisters. They pick at each other, they joke at each other, but they still love each other. The whole the whole scene in the bedroom where, do you got my hoodie? No, I don't. I got my own hoodies, and she's pulling the blanket over the hoodie that she's wearing. You know, because you've got daughters. You know how you know how they act with each other, and so do I.
They fight. That's how they act.
And one final note, Huggy Bear. That's all I'm going to say.
You might have to say a little more than that.
The newspaper guy that his daughter goes to see?
Yeah.
That's Huggy Bear from Starsky and Hutch.
Oh, I never watched Starsky and Hutch that much.
Okay. Then how about this? He was also the pimp of the year in I'm Gonna Get You Sucker.
Did he have, with the platform shoes and everything?
with the fish in his shoes.
With the fish in his shoes. He's got fish in his shoes.
Yeah,
oh, so that was funny.
That episode wins it for me just by having the Pimp of the Year and Huggy Bear on that show.
I might have to watch I'm Gonna Get You Sucker again.
You know, what's funny is I have seen that movie so many times. When it first hit the theaters... I'd seen a preview for it, and I talked my brother and his buddy into go seeing it, right? We got in that movie theater. We were the only white people in the whole theater.
Nice.
And, like, every cliche you've heard is true about being in a black theater.
Yeah.
That movie, I can't tell you how many times I've seen that movie, but I haven't watched it in probably... God, 20 years? So it was kind of fun, even though I knew it hard. I mean, I could literally, you know, do the dialogue for the whole damn movie. And watching it with my son was just hysterical.
Who was it that posted that D.L. Hughley quote recently? Did you see that? Was that on our page? Somebody, I'll have to find it and put it on our page. But it basically said, it was D.L. Hughley. He's like, dear black people, you have had a year, all right, to find a babysitter. Do not bring your baby to Black Panther.
I hate when that happens. But
you've had a year to plan ahead. I remember, when Straight Outta Compton was in theaters.
Mm-hmm.
And we went to see something else, and Straight Outta Compton was in a theater like close by. And as we're leaving, we walk by that particular theater, and somebody walks out of the theater as we're walking by so that we could see into it, and the movie was still going on. And it was like at the club. I mean, everybody's talking, everybody's yelling at the screen, people are cheering. Black people live life more fully than white people.
I'm inclined to agree with you on that.
I mean, white people sit there all proper. It's like, oh, we're watching a movie. We have to be quiet. We're in this theater with all these other white people, and we would not want to make a scene. We want to be quiet and pretend they're not here. It's like, why you go to the movies at a theater if you don't want to interact with the people at the theater? Just sit at home and watch it, right?
Right.
Black people are like, I'm at the theater. I'm going to yell at the screen, and I'm going to high-five the guy sitting next to me when something good happens. And if I get scared, I'm going to scream like a little girl.
That's right. And they do. In fact, when we were sitting there watching I'm Going to Get You, Sucker, now mind you, this was 86, 88, somewhere in that ballpark when that movie came out. And it was the first time I had ever seen this. And there's the scene where they're in the bar, and the hooker chick comes up to the character, and she's like seducing him, right? And she, yeah, the audience is just quiet. And she does that thing where she rolls her tongue. Now, I'd never seen that before. and I just went, damn! And the whole audience just died.
Damn!
It's like, okay.
There you go. Oh, girl, you got the devil in you. No, cramps. Wait, was that I'm Gonna Get You, Sucker, or was that
yes,
Kentucky Fried Movie?
No, that was Sucker.
No, cramps.
And when he's, it was, because see, my son is so easily embarrassed. And there was nothing, in my opinion, even remotely inappropriate for a 14-year-old boy to see in this movie. when that same girl is doing the whole thing about the 12 inches, he turned so red. He's just laughing. So it was a blast. I've been doing that lately with him. I've been watching. He's wanting to see movies that I watched when I was younger. You know, he wants to see the movies that I watched. And what was funny about I'm Gonna Get You, Suckers, I would have to pause it every couple of minutes and explain to him like who these actors are. Mm-hmm. You know. Now I've seen damn near every blaxploitation movie ever made, some of them numerous times. And I'm explaining to him who who Bernie Casey is. And he's just looking at me and he's giving me that slow blink. Like he's not quite following me, and I'm like, do you pay attention to anything your father does that doesn't have to do with superheroes? And I keep thinking, oh, but your sister would get this joke. But no, he loved it. So he's been having a ball watching dad's movies.
It's like your son and your daughter and your other daughter. It's like they represent different parts of you.
I think so.
Your son represents the superhero lover. Your daughter represents, like, your older daughter represents the deep thinker, the philosopher.
Mm-hmm.
And then your younger daughter represents just the goofy comedy.
Pretty much.
It's like you couldn't give them all everything, so you just had to give each of them, like, one of them would not have been able to handle all of you. So you had to give a little bit of you to each of them.
Right. Because that's evidence when we're at the bus stop that one of my children cannot handle all of me.
All of me. Don't take all of me. You couldn't handle it. You can't handle the truth. Oh, there you go, man. Black Lightning. Black mm-hmm. Lightning's back. That's also, right. April. What's coming out in April? Something's coming out in April. It's not Man in the High Castle. It's some other show that I've been looking forward to. Now I can't remember what it was. Dang it.
I haven't watched season two of that yet. I watched season one, and I thought it could have ended with season one. Is season two any good?
Not as good as season one, but it's all right.
It's sophomore jinx.
Okay, here's what's good about season two. Season two is like all the stuff that you were curious about. from season one. Like, I wonder what this looks like. I wonder what that would be like. You kind of get to see some of
it. Oh, it kind of expands it, I guess.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It starts out with the Japanese guy ends up with his family, like, in the alternate universe. Mm-hmm. It is kind of strange. It's kind of strange. Okay. But I don't know. It's all right. It's all right. Here's my problem is that the chick from season one, mm-hmm. right? I loved
mm-hmm.
her.
Mm-hmm.
In season two, like, it's almost like she loses some of her spine, right?
Mm.
In season one, she had a purpose and she had conviction. And then in season two, it's more like, she's not really sure what she wants, you know? And that kind of bugged me a bit.
Yeah.
But hey, it was okay. And I'm looking forward to season three. So there you go. But you're probably right. It probably could have ended with just one season.
Yeah.
And that probably would have been fine. So that having been said, hey, I know that we talked about this last night, but it probably came across as a drunken guy saying, I love you guys. But seriously, the feedback we got on the previous episode mm-hmm. was loved it. It was mostly positive. I don't remember any negative stuff, so I guess I could say it was all positive.
Mm-hmm.
Seems like people liked the history thing, which is why I did another one, because I figure maybe I'll do one every week for a little while just to kind of, you know, make it a thing. And then maybe take a few weeks off at some point. But,
right. Don't force it.
Yeah.
Exactly. Make it organic, as they say. You know, if it happens, it happens. If anything happens on this show, it happens because it happens.
Well, I don't know how organic we are. We're non-GMO, that's for sure.
Close enough.
We ain't no GMO.
We've actually been getting people that have been, I don't know whether it's a coincidence or not, but we've actually been getting people gravitating towards the Facebook group now.
It's true. And what I did with that, I don't recognize the names of the people, and mm-hmm. they're not friends with any of our friends. So mm-hmm. I'm like, what's that about, right? So then I wonder, are these just people like joining a bunch of groups or something? So I ask, like, how did you hear about the show, right? Mm-hmm. And the one said, well, something came across in my newsfeed. I was like, well, that's interesting, right?
Well, tell a friend.
Could be a friend of a friend. So right. What I did is a thing you can do in groups is you can add, like, when somebody requests to join, it will automatically mm-hmm. ask them a couple of questions. I think I mentioned that with the Adam Carolla group that I had joined.
Mm-hmm.
So I went ahead and put a couple of questions. It was, what's your favorite sci-fi book? And where did the Don't Panic radio show get its name? And I figure if you could answer those two questions, you're in, right? Welcome to the group.
That's right.
Give us a listen. We're more than just a Facebook group. Right. Give us a listen. I think you'll like it. And that, you know, an appeal to our friends. Sharing on Facebook is great. You know, sharing our link to the show, sharing whatever on Facebook, that's awesome. But mm-hmm. you know what? If you like the show and you think one of your friends will like it, tell them personally. Like, just say, hey, there's this podcast I think you would like. And send them a link. And then the other thing you can do, which I hear helps a lot, is go to iTunes, if you use iTunes, and, you know, rate the show. Give us mm-hmm. give us a rating. Give us 5 stars, you know, if you are so inclined, and leave a little comment. I hear that helps.
Yeah, that seems to be what I've heard as well. So
I guess not iTunes. Apple Podcasts, I guess, is what it is. It's not iTunes. Or, I guess, Stitcher or Podbean, you know, just, you know, go review, and that'd be awesome. We'd love it, because the more listeners, the better.
That's right.
That was my little plug. Oh, I have other news. This is the wrap up portion of the show where I start thinking of things. I have other news. I have now recorded.
I'm getting slower, closer and closer to the receiver, you know, to hang up the receiver on the phone. Right. It's like, okay, Grandma. All right. Okay, Grandma.
That's hilarious because the kids and I called my mom tonight on our way home from picking Elizabeth up.
Mm-hmm.
And so we get done. It's like, oh, I'm going to let you go. Okay, great. Love you. All right. Take it easy. Love you. Okay, be careful. All right, you too. Bye. Love you. And the kids join in. They start going, love you. Okay, bye. Love you. And like there's four people. Me, the two kids, and my mom all going, love you. Okay, take it easy. Love you. Okay. All right. Love you. Bye. It was hilarious. But anyway. So here's my other news. And yep. It is, hey, real quick, one more thing. So I recorded the first episode of a new podcast that will be coming out soon. Which is, I don't have a name for it yet. Maybe the listeners can suggest a name. Maybe you could suggest a name. But it is, it's leadership in the life science industry. Mm-hmm. And it's for aspiring leaders who want to learn more about leadership in the industry. And every week I'm going to interview another leader in the industry. So this week, the very first one was the president and CEO of the Indiana Health Industry Forum, which is a trade organization that promotes the industry of life science and the business of life science in the state of Indiana, right? Next week, I'm going to be interviewing the vice president, general counsel of the Indiana Health Information Exchange, which is, you know, another important life science company in town. And so I'm going to just like get VPs, directors, CEOs and stuff of pharmaceutical companies and stuff like that. So anyway, so each week I'll interview another leader, and I've got these great questions that pretty much get to like, what advice do you have for up and coming leaders, like kids who, and I don't want to use the word kids, but you know, professionals who are starting out in their career and they want to level up, you know, they're an engineer, a chemist or whatever in the industry, and they want to, you know, move into a leadership position. So the idea is it'll be about a half an hour every week, a different person to interview. It's going to be great. I don't know what to call it.
Yeah, if anybody has an idea, let him know.
It's a naming contest. The other thing I need to know is what music to play. Like what theme music?
Oh, you're still working on the theme music?
Yeah, well, that other one that I never actually did was the Independent Mindset podcast.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, well, that one wasn't going to go anywhere. So,
well, here's what you do since you're wanting this to be as professional as possible.
Yes.
Go on YouTube and type in public domain YouTube music.
Okay.
You will get a ton of music. Now, a lot of it is the, you know, that music you hear on like Wenji's podcast and stuff like that, or Wenji's, you know, but you'll get, I mean, there's some pretty good music in there. Or right. If nothing else, maybe talk to a William Wright. Maybe he's got some music laying around that he might, you know, want to get up off of for your show.
Do you mean the William Wright?
No, a William Wright.
Oh, okay.
Not the William Wright.
Just a William Wright. Okay.
Yeah.
Got it.
Yeah.
Right. That's a good idea. Hey, if anybody has music or name ideas, let us hear them. Yeah. That having been said, I think that we're nearing the end. Do you have anything else you wanted to cover tonight?
Nope, I think we got it.
Well, in that case, for all of our listeners, for my very patient and lovely wife, she's upstairs probably watching the Olympics by herself. Primarily for Paul Schultz, I'm Steve Vinson, and nothing
you just heard,
was true.
Was true. Was true. So they can do it.
Do
shit.